It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll get an inside look at YouTube's rise from a tiny startup to a video sharing giant with the author of the new book, Like, Comment, Subscribe. But first, Tom Lujack joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you the topics and conversations you count on every day here on Central Time. Your support makes it all happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And hey, Tom, we got a big deal going on today and tomorrow.
We do, Rob. Good to be with you. And we want to tell our listeners that today is the start of a special two-day challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
So your participation right now is absolutely critical. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before the end of day tomorrow. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You really have a lot of power when it comes to Wisconsin Public Radio because people who listen, you, provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
And your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for all of your neighbors, the entire community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got these new Wisconsin Public Radio socks available for you when you give $15 a month or more. They're like Argyle-ish socks. They show off the variety of WPR services you rely on every day, the news, info, entertainment, all with a Wisconsin perspective. Ask for your pair of socks with a gift of $15 a month or more right now online at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. You know, we serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, our networks at WPR.org, you get news and voices and music and sounds from all over Wisconsin. Over time, all these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state we call home.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting WPR right now is a great thing you can do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact info, how much you'd like to give, and then how you'd like to pay it.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the entire world. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're part of something big when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, part of a history that goes back over 100 years, and I hope will continue on for well over another 100 years. And then these 2 days here, today and tomorrow, you can be part of something pretty big, too. This member challenge, when 500 people make a gift for Wisconsin Public Radio, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs that you count on.
Support independent journalism and rich entertainment when you make a gift of $15 a month for WPR. And when you do, ask for those new WPR socks. These navy and gold socks feature that Argyle design, celebrating the variety that you get access to on WPR every day. So take the step, get it? Take the step and give $15.
I get it.
You do.
It just sunk in. Well done.
And give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
While you're getting those socks, it's also a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card. You can get it all started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Harry in Superior says, WPR keeps my family busy and up to speed on what's happening in our state and beyond. And in the other side of the state, down in Oak Creek, Heidi tells us, I enjoy the topics covered on Central Time. I'm happy to donate to continue this fine program.
Thank you so much, Heidi. Thank you, Harry. How about you? Do you count on the Ideas Network for great information, for inspiration, for connection to people in your community, around the state, around the world? Well, know that we count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now. You really do make a difference when you make a gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you. This is Central Time. YouTube is one of the most popular websites on the internet. Maybe you've used it for a gardening lesson or makeup tutorials, or to find some music or a funny video that everybody's talking about, or to find a Simpsons clip for the talk show producers you work with. Our next guest took a closer look at the company and its bumpy road to becoming the video sharing giant it is today. He says the challenge of dealing with problematic content has been there right from the start, but the massive growth of the site has only made that problem more challenging. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you use YouTube to watch stuff? Do you post stuff to YouTube and hope people will go and watch it themselves? Do you get how-to information, music videos, or what? Do you worry about misinformation or hateful content on the site? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Bergen is a business journalist who covers technology for Bloomberg. His new book is called Like, Comment, Subscribe, Inside YouTube's Chaotic Rise to World Domination. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of just the sheer scale and scope of how big YouTube is now?
Sure. I mean, the stat that I always turn to is, and it's a few years old, 500 hours of video are uploaded every minute. This is new video, not just the existing catalog that's on YouTube. And that is probably larger. And so that's just the amount that's coming on. And since 2016, the company has shared that people around the world have watched at least 1 billion hours of footage every single day.
And yet, and you write about this, YouTube doesn't seem to get quite as much attention or scrutiny as, say, a Facebook or TikTok, things like that. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think there are a number of reasons. One is most people use YouTube and its parent company, Google, sort of like a utility, right? They'll go there if they need to find a tip how to fix something wrong with their car. Or during the pandemic, you know, a lot of people, myself included, went there for like workout tips or yoga tutorials, right? So it's not necessarily the place where a lot of people, and certainly over an age, maybe over 40, associate with some of the problems of other social networks. It still exists on YouTube. So I think that it's just a little bit harder for average people to see and recognize. And part of it's that's been part of Google, which is in some ways a savvier and more politically active company than Facebook and Twitter have been.
Now there's a cliche story of a band of Silicon Valley entrepreneurs starting a business in a rat-infested building, things like that, and then getting big, and then Google buys them. That's exactly the story of YouTube, basically, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was started in the garage with this, at the time, like fairly revolutionary idea, right? Like, let anyone broadcast themselves online, and then eventually, like, make money from it. And you know, early on, they ran into some technical hurdles making that possible. They outlawed pornography and graphic sex, and then had to, you know, both like scramble to take down videos that people uploaded, and then really define the lines there where what graphic sex is and what it's not. And then they also had to deal with copyright material.
Those two challenges I keep recurring through the book. As you say, from early on, there's still things. The decision about, okay, this is all user-posted content. What stays? What do we have to block? This has been a topic of debate within the company, accusations against the company when they, you know, hosted ISIS beheading videos and things like that. Can you talk about that core tension at the heart of YouTube?
Yeah, for a long time, the initial, like the sort of DNA at the company was, we're going to fight to keep videos up, in part because you had media companies, Viacom, which owns like MTV and Comedy Central, had sued YouTube early on for $1 billion, trying to like basically sue it out of existence. And then you had governments in a lot of countries sometimes taking YouTube down or threatening to do so because of videos that criticize the government or say something that kind of disagrees with their policies. So for a long time, the company fought tooth and nail to keep their videos up. And then there's been this rapid turn in the past few years where they're being criticized for having videos of violent extremism and terrorism, and having videos with misinformation, and all these problems that have been there since day one, but now they're just a larger size, and the politics have shifted. And so the companies have to respond on their back feet.
You mentioned the revenue side of things. And early on, the goal, the idea of YouTube was, we're going to get lots of users uploading stuff, lots of people watching it. Then we'll figure out a way to make money, but hopefully not with ads. And that changed, obviously, at some point, where we thought, we can make a lot of money if we had ads. Talk about that evolution a little.
Yeah, I think some of the original CEO of YouTube didn't love the, it's funny now to think back on it, but didn't love the experience of their biggest ad product, which is like they call pre-rolls, the one, the commercial that plays before a video starts. And that seemed like disruptive to a viewer. And there wasn't a sense that, you know, that viewers were used to getting kind of free footage online. Why would they want to withstand an ad? Obviously, certainly YouTube viewers do, and that's changed a lot. And I think that became, especially when they became part of Google, that became the natural business model. Like, Google is the world's biggest advertising company and exceptionally good at running an online ads business. That's run into some problems, but you know, YouTube has set up this massive creator economy where they're paying millions of people who are broadcasting, something that no other company has really been able to match.
We're talking to Mark Bergen. He covers technology companies at Bloomberg. His new book is called Like, Comment, Subscribe, Inside YouTube's Chaotic Rise to World Domination. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When do you find yourself using YouTube? Do you put yourself on YouTube with videos you've created yourself? What do you like about it, if anything? What do you wish were different? Or is there something that has steered you away from it at some point? Call in with your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Mark Bergen about his new book, Like, Comment, Subscribe, Inside YouTube's Chaotic Rise to World Domination. You can call in to share your experiences with YouTube as a consumer or producer of content, for better or worse. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Fred is with us in Madison. Fred, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've been looking at YouTube for over 10 years, and I spend way too much time on it. But what happens very often is a video with sound and music will be on for months or maybe years, then it'll go down. It'll be taken down. And the reason it's taken down is because someone owns the copyright. Some lawyer or company has decided to sue or threaten YouTube. And I mean, my own predilection is to look at old videos of opera and records from the 20s and 30s. Quite a few have been taken down. Wow. From like Poland in the 30s or France in the 30s and 40s.
Interesting, Fred. Thanks a lot for the call. The answer to this question has changed over the years, Mark, but how does YouTube police Fred's content to see if it's going to go away?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. I think it certainly points out to like the role that YouTube has as this like as an archival tool, right? It's primarily where a lot of footage that doesn't exist anywhere else on the internet lives. So YouTube has built this system pretty early on called Content ID. That's a tool that allows them to automatically identify copyrighted material and then go to the copyright owner and say, if someone else uploaded that video, not the copyright owner, we can take this down or we can give you all the money that runs on that video. There was some stat, I believe it was last year, something along the order of like 4 million copyright claims a day are made on YouTube. So it's an astoundingly complex system, and one in which is largely automated. And so the decisions are made where the companies, you know, the copyright holder will contest something and take down a video. Often the person who uploads that video only gets like an automated email address, and certainly the viewer doesn't understand the rationale behind it, or the company doesn't really explain itself.
Fred, thanks for that call. One controversy, one of many controversies for YouTube over the years, has been what people call the rabbit hole, where people get steered into more and more conspiracy-laden videos. You write that a former employee there, Claire Stapleton, who'd played a key role earlier on, after leaving the company, raised questions like, quoting here, how had her company, so devoted to organizing the world's information, built a megaphone and payment system for conspiracists, cranks, and hate mongers? Can you talk about how that issue has played out at YouTube?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what's unique about YouTube is that not just, it has a similar problems to other social networks, that there are kind of these echo chambers where the way that their algorithms are set up are really effective at delivering people the kind of video and content that they want. And often that will be reinforcing previously held beliefs, or if you're watching one video that says one thing, the way that it's structured is to, you know, it's to share another video that has similar positions. And that's really convenient when you're talking about maybe like a certain comedian you like, or in the case of a certain type of old music, right? That's a really fabulous discovery tool, but it can get much more complicated when it's just feeding people one side of an argument. And you're right, like this was something that television and newscasters have taken pride in, this idea of having a balanced perspective. So the company had a big change starting in 2019, you know, dealing with criticism around this, both from inside the company, which I talk about in the book, and outside. Their solution has been to attempt what they call borderline videos. That's sort of subjects that are controversial, like around their conspiracies about flat Earth or certain political topics. They just try not to recommend as often as possible. I think it's a very difficult problem, in part because it's a political and subjective one, and the company's it likes to tackle problems as computer science and engineering and with algorithms, and this is something that's really hard to solve with software.
As we wrap up, Mark, YouTube was once known for sort of the zany, weird, out of nowhere video, the Charlie bit my finger and things like that. And now it's this huge institution that, you know, other social media companies are trying to capture that old YouTube energy. How is YouTube still trying to be that?
I mean, it's trying to be many things all at once. You know, it is both trying to be sort of a streaming service and competing for time on television screens. And it has YouTube TV, which is like a sort of an alternative to cable. And it's also now on the other side, it's trying to compete with TikTok, which is competing for a lot of attention in younger, certainly like younger people. And is also the first real competitor to YouTube to start paying its creators in a somewhat meaningful way. And that's a new and interesting threat. And so YouTube is, if you ever use the YouTube app, you're probably going to see a lot more Shorts, which is their TikTok copycat.
Mark, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Mark Bergen. He's a business journalist who covers technology for Bloomberg. He was with us today to talk about his new book, Like, Comment, Subscribe, Inside YouTube's Chaotic Rise to World Domination. Coming up, we hear the story of a refugee who fled Ukraine and is now lecturing at UW Oshkosh. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future radio listening.
You know, listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on. Programs like this one, Central Time. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Make an even bigger impact when you give right now, because $25,000 is going to be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support for the programs that you and really our entire community relies on.
Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a big difference. Make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, in this last segment, we heard all about the story of YouTube and why it is such an interesting, fascinating place to be and serve so many people. And, you know, it's just one of the many, many different stories that you hear every day, every week here on Central Time. These are the kind of conversations that you can count on a regular basis.
WPR is listener supported, so that means that your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The answer? Consider becoming a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and then you set it up to be ongoing.
A sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift. Those donations add up to have a huge impact for Wisconsin Public Radio. Choose an amount, 10 or 20 bucks a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, living here in Wisconsin, we all know that keeping up with the election news and understanding politics isn't always easy, but WPR can help. We're here with the facts and the insights you need as you get ready to vote in November.
And after the balloting and counting is done, we'll look at what it all means for the future of the state. That's our commitment to you. Now make your commitment to this essential service that you and your entire community rely on. Support WPR's accurate and dependable reporting, both on the air and online. Donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Rob, I don't know about you, but I know it's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on those things that are part of our routines, like a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, maybe your favorite snack.
All of the above. Consider the news, the info, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support the programs you count on every day.
And just a reminder, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
Show off your love for Wisconsin and Wisconsin Public Radio with your new pair of WPR socks. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month for WPR's essential public service. Make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you. And consider today the day that you increase your support of WPR. Consider $5 or $10 more a month. Whatever amount you choose, just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gloria in Oconomowoc says, I love Central Time with Rob and all the programs on WPR. Jean in Ellison Bay says, I donate because I love to listen. Thank you. Now it's your turn. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, we find out how a refugee from Ukraine and her family are settling into life in Wisconsin while she teaches at UW-Oshkosh. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. It's your gift of any amount that makes it all possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is really such a big deal.
And Rob, you know, we're reminding listeners that today is the start of a special two-day challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
It's their way to encourage you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform and inspire you and the whole state of Wisconsin.
Your participation now really is vital, so become one of those 500 people to meet this challenge before the end of the day tomorrow. It starts, though, with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, maybe one of the reasons you enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio is you know you're going to hear thoughtful programming, whether it's a news story that's been carefully researched and reported or a talk show guest chosen to share something unique. You can count on a quality experience every time you tune in.
We're so grateful that you care about quality. It's something that we care about every day. And it's your financial support that makes everything you hear on WPR possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day, throughout the week, You're a regular listener because you value WPR. If you've never given before, start off with a gift of maybe $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're going to love being a WPR member.
Take your next step with WPR this fall member drive. Ask for your pair of WPR socks. Keep your feet warm and looking extra stylish all season long. Featuring a pattern of radio and Wisconsin-themed symbols, these golden navy socks are the perfect way to show off your love for public radio and the Badger State. Put your best foot forward. Get your pair of WPR socks when you give $15 a month right now. Here's how.
Make that gift. Get those socks at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujack. The WPR programs you count on are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference for our entire community.
You know, your gift of $10 or $20 a month makes Intelligent Radio available. Available not just to you, but to the entire state of Wisconsin and even beyond. You can see why your gift is so powerful.
And you can have a big impact in just a few minutes. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And the great thing is, you choose the amount.
And maybe you're one of those who donated a few years ago and you feel, well, you've done your part. You know, though, it's continued support that makes the essential news, interesting conversations, and all the cultural content on WPR possible. And in order to continue to do that today and into the future, we need your help now.
If it's been a while since you donated, it's a perfect time to renew at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll be really glad to have you back.
You know, our member challenge is still in effect. When 500 people make a gift for WPR, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs that you rely on.
You can support independent journalism and great conversations when you make a gift of $15 a month for Wisconsin Public Radio. And when you do that, ask for the new WPR socks, navy and gold, Argyle design. It celebrates the variety you get access to on WPR every day. That design on both socks, not just one of them. You get two socks with that cool design. Take that step today. Give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing, monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Judith in Milwaukee says, I support WPR's reliability. And Deborah in Madison says, WPR has well-researched, balanced coverage of sometimes complicated topics. Thank you both so much. Well, how about you? What do you count on Wisconsin Public Radio for? How important is it in your daily routine? Make a gift right now. You really do make a difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Shortly after Russia invaded Ukraine at the end of February this year, our next guest and her family fled their Ukrainian home. They ultimately settled in Oshkosh. Oksana Kotsanivska had a connection with UW Oshkosh, and this fall she's teaching four courses at the school. Oksana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for calling me.
How did you get from your home in Ukraine to here in Wisconsin and to Oshkosh?
Oh, that was a long trip, to be honest. So to start with, my husband has left Ukraine 2 days before the war started. He went on a regular business trip. Also, he had to meet up with his family in Sardinia. And he used to live there before we got married. So there we came, like 24th of February, the war started. I was in Ukraine with our two small kids, and my husband was in Italy, being really stressed out because we were left in Ukraine. It took him more than a week to persuade me to go to take kids and go to Italy too. But eventually I agreed, and we gathered our stuff and went to the border. He met us at the border, and we further to Sardinia. That's where we spent the first 5 months of war. And while I was being there, my friend, Dr. Jordan Karsten from UW Oshkosh contacted me asking if I was in favor of teaching at the university this semester. And it's at the beginning, it felt like a little unrealistic, you know, but it did work out, and that's how we got here. So thanks to Jordan, and thanks to the whole university staff, basically.
If I may, can you take us back to that day? Obviously, in Ukraine, you'd been dreading the possibility of a Russian invasion for weeks. By that point, when was it first clear to you that it was actually happening that day?
Well, it was clear to me. It became clear to me at 7 a.m. in the morning, because I got a call from my cousin saying it has started. And I was still sleepy. I was like, what started? What are you talking about, you know? And he was like, the war has started, Oksana. Just get ready. I don't know. Take care of the kids. And I tend to be optimistic. I did not think the war would start, actually. I was hoping for some diplomatic solution to that. So it took me, it got me unprepared, I would say so.
And you're here with young children, journeying, as you say, across the border to Sardinia, here to Wisconsin, and you're doing it with two young children. How did you talk to them? What was it like for them having to go through this?
Oh, you see, my son is 3 years and 5 months now, and my daughter is 1.5 years old. When we left, my son wasn't even 3 yet, and my daughter was like 10 months. So I didn't tell them anything about the war. Like, I did not specify that the reason we were leaving home was war. I was just saying them that we were going to meet their daddy, and they were excited about that because they missed them. They missed him. They wanted to see him. And I still haven't found the right words to talk to my son. Afraid to tell him something that might be too harmful for him. You know, he's small. And I know that if I start telling him about the war, he will be extremely worried about his grandparents who are there. So I don't want to put this pressure on him. Like, I will tell him. Definitely, who started this war? But I want him to grow up a little bit. I don't feel like he's prepared yet, and I'm not even saying anything about my daughter. She's
of course
super small for that.
We're talking to Oksana Katsanivska from Ukraine, teaching this semester at UW Oshkosh after leaving Ukraine with her family after the outbreak of war. Oksana, now here you are in Oshkosh. Can you talk about, I guess, the welcome you've found here in Wisconsin?
Oh, we were extremely welcomed here. I even felt that before coming here, because I do realize how much effort it took the university and some of my friends to prepare everything, to organize it, you know. All the paperwork, all the documentation, all the preparation, it took them a lot of time and efforts, and I appreciate that a lot. But also, after we arrived, my family and I also could feel that people were waiting for us here. We got so many gifts from different people. Most of them were for my children, like toys, diapers, anything, like any necessities, you know. And everyone I meet here is extremely nice and friendly, saying, well, we are happy you're here. We're happy you're safe. And I do feel that it's a sincere talks, you know. So, Oshkosh is just an extremely friendly place, and people are really nice, real nice and helpful, I can say.
Now, you're teaching a bunch of classes this semester, including one looking at this ongoing war, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. What is it like for you to be, you know, watching your homeland, talking about it in classes while you know people actually there right now?
I want to look at it opportunity to raise awareness about my country and about its struggles right now. I do like the fact that Ukrainians are now looked at as heroes, mostly. I'm not saying like that we are the nation of heroes, you know, but I do like that people from other countries realize that Ukrainians are doing an extremely dangerous and hard thing right now, fighting a much bigger country with much bigger army. And I think that this Russo-Ukrainian conflict class, it's really nice. I enjoy it. I'm trying to be unbiased. I'm trying not to impose my opinions on my students. But they are critical thinkers. They have their own ideas and they have their own beliefs. And I'm happy to say that those usually match mine. So we do share common opinions, you know. And I mean, I did tell them at the beginning that I do not tend to get too emotional, but if I start crying when we are talking about some battles or some casualties, just don't pay attention to that. It's just the war and its influence on us. Because, I mean, I have to look through the news to get ready to discuss those with my students. And sometimes it's amazingly hard to believe that it's the reality, you know. So, I don't know, but I do take it as an opportunity to raise awareness about Ukraine. And I'm happy I have this opportunity.
Well, on a happier note, you are also teaching about Ukrainian literature, and I'm guessing some people have an interest in that, maybe more than they would have previously. Can you recommend a Ukrainian author who might be available in translation that you would steer people toward?
Well, it is actually a little hard to find Ukrainian fiction translated to English, but we managed to pick some for our course. And I do recommend The Grey Bees by Andrei Kurkov. This novel deals with war, but not in terms of soldiers or fighters. It's about a person from the gray zone and his life. I also do recommend The Orphanage by Serhii Zhadan. It's really nice. Also touches the topic of war, but not from the point of view of soldiers. So those are really nice. They are contemporary, they are up to date, and they might be a little confusing in terms of geography, you know, or in terms of mentality. But if you try, if you give it a shot, you might enjoy them, because I did. I mean, I truly did, and it looks like my students also like them.
And I understand you're also teaching a course on food anthropology. Can you tell us a little bit about Ukrainian food? I don't know if that's a super familiar topic to, except for, of course, Ukrainian Americans here in the state.
Oh, I can talk about food all the time. I love cooking. Yes, sure. You probably heard about borscht, which is a Ukrainian national dish, and it's a part of the heritage of UNESCO. It is really good. If you ever have a chance to try it, just try it. It's amazing. Personally, I'm a fan of bread baking. I have picked this hobby at the beginning of COVID times. I even welcomed my students to the first class of food anthropology with the freshly baked bread with salt, which is like a Ukrainian tradition. It tastes a little different than American bread, I must say, but it's still really good. If we talk about other dishes, it's dyrune, which are like potato pancakes, salty, obviously. They look like hash browns to me more. And they're extremely delicious with mushroom sauce. And holubtsi is like the rice and minced meat wrapped in cabbage leaves. Those are also good. And those are actually the top dishes of American students who come to Ukraine. One that's like for. These are all favorites, basically.
Oksana,
but there are many more.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
That's Oksana Kotsanivska, lecturer at UW Oshkosh this fall. She and her family fled their home in Ukraine during the war with Russia. We talked to her about that experience and how they're settling into life in Wisconsin. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujack joins me. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support your future Wisconsin Public Radio listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on here at WPR. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Make an even bigger impact when you give right now, because $25,000 is going to be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous members created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on.
Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a difference, brings us one step closer to that big goal. We can do it with your help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many interesting stories you hear on Central Time every day, every week. For example, in this last segment, we learned about the Ukrainian professor who fled the war in her country and now is teaching at UW-Oshkosh. I also learned about her love for food and borscht, one of my favorite meals. So where else are you going to hear that that wonderful insight into what makes people tick? These are the kind of conversations you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Looking for a more subtle way to show off your support for the WPR programs that you love? Ask for the new WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more. These navy and gold socks feature an Argyle-inspired design with a nod to Wisconsin and your favorite radio station. Keep your WPR pride on the down low by wearing them with your favorite boots, or broadcast your love by pairing them up with sandals. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're busy. It can be difficult to squeeze in all the day's to-dos, but no matter how challenging your schedule is, it's always fast and convenient to make your contribution to WPR Online. Just go to WPR.org. With secure online pledging, you can pick the amount you want to give, how you'd like to pay, and even ask for a thank you gift. It's secure, quick, and pledging your support is a simple, easy task that has a huge impact. It funds all the in-depth news, thoughtful conversations, and excellent music and entertainment that are a part of your everyday, no matter how busy things get. So give now at WPR.org. Of course, you can always give us a call at 888-202-2552.
Make that gift right now. It's the Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujack. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you count on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a big difference.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you any time of the day or the night.
And what makes it all possible? You do. People who contribute make Wisconsin Public Radio happen.
Your gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever you choose, it all makes a huge difference to those of us here at WPR. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make that gift.
Once in a while, you can actually get more than you pay for. Wisconsin Public Radio is a place where that's true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Rob, it's hard to buy much for $2 a day, isn't it? But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to just $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A group of really generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs you count on by the end of the day tomorrow. We're hoping that you will join in, rise to that challenge, make your gift be counted in that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you could show off your love for Wisconsin and WPR with your new pair of Wisconsin Public Radio socks. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more for WPR's essential public service. Like WPR, these navy and gold socks celebrate Wisconsin and the importance of staying informed and connected. Make your gift of $15 a month and ask for your Wisconsin Public Radio socks right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you. We really appreciate it. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Lisa in La Crosse. Lisa tells us, I listen every morning. I appreciate that WPR dives deeply into issues rather than covering them in short sound bites. And Elizabeth in Appleton says, I listen every day. I'm increasing my sustaining donation because it's time to do so. Elizabeth, thank you. Lisa, thank you. Now, how about you? You counted us for great conversations. We count on you to pay for it. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Be part of this big challenge, two-day challenge, looking for 500 gifts today and tomorrow to unlock a level up here. Current members saying, hey, we'll kick in an extra $25,000 if we hit that 500 gift mark by the end of the day tomorrow. Pretty exciting, Tom.
It is. It's such an easy thing to do. And again, a lot of folks may have said, I gave a year ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago. Consider if you haven't given lately, doing so now, it makes such a huge difference.
We can't do it without you. You count on us for great conversations on Central Time and all across the Ideas Network, for great news coverage from our fantastic news team. You can listen to them on the air. So much great stuff on our website, too. Up to the minute news articles, coverage in Wisconsin and around the country from NPR. Your gift gives you so much back now and into the future. Make your gift now at WPR.org or call. Takes just a few minutes at 888-202-2552, and thank you.